So when you launch this thing, basically you've got what I did and what works really, really, really well, we've done it over and over and over and over again, is you've got this 45 to 60 day sequence, right? So, you know, perhaps every week you send a weekly mail piece. Right? Maybe it's a postcard or a letter or whatever it is. You know, and basically the message is, you know, dear loyal martial arts family, whatever. You know, I've been whatever. You know, I've been studying this new system for many months and years now, and I've learned the intricacies of it, and I'm bringing this new thing to you at the school because I think that you deserve more, and I think that we can provide more service to you, and I think we can provide more value in our program, and we can teach you all of these new skills in a new way that you maybe have never seen before. And so you've got this weekly mail piece that's going to go out to sort of like soften the ground up, right? And you can do maybe, you know, one or two times a week emails, you know, that sort of thing. You basically take 30 days or 60 days to warm up, to soften the ground, right? You just, I don't want to say inundate, but you sort of try to move everybody into the boat of thinking about what is this new thing? What do I get to do? What is it going to do for me? How do I do it? What are all the details, right? So this is what you want everybody in your school to be thinking about, right? Then we did a little launch party, and we do it every month, but we call it a leadership preview class. Right, like a leadership preview class, which basically, you're going to bring in a big chunk of students, a big group of students, whoever they are, and you give them a little taste. Right? You show them kind of the cool stuff you're going to be doing. And you've got two specific markets you've got to be thinking about, right? You've got two specific, you know, people that you have to persuade and people that have to understand what the value is. You've got the student, and then you've got the parent. And you've got to build yourself a matrix like this. And at every step along the way, you have to do something that stimulates both, right? So, for example, at one of our very first leadership preview parties, I had the big long table sat out in front of the chairs, and I had all the books on there. You know, the Maxwell stuff, the What to Say When You're Talking to, all that stuff on there, like in a corner. And then in the middle, I had like all the new weapons that they were going to be able to learn. And on the left-hand side, I had all the stuff, you know, they were going to be able to use, right? And then during the class, obviously, we were using, you know, that type of phraseology, right? Like, you know, who would like to learn the commas or whatever, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? So, I mean, I think getting the students excited about this thing is easy, right? I mean, that's easy. You can get them excited about anything. But, you know, getting the parent convinced is a little more difficult. So a lot of the messaging can be, you know, kind of like I've seen the light. I've learned this new program. You know, dear parents, you guys know that, you know, I was gone for a few days, you know, over the last few weeks, and one of the things that are really important in our martial arts school is for our instructors to continue their education too, right? And we've learned about a program that's been tremendously successful with parents all over the country to teach them leadership skills and self-reliance skills that I have never seen the equal of. And we've, you know, partnered in some, however you want to say it, we've partnered to learn these systems and teaching tools to bring it here to you at the school, something brand new you've never seen before, and we're really excited about it, right? And they're you know, you're going to transfer that enthusiasm to them. And then within this 60-day sequence, you're getting everybody sort of in like this vibrating mode, right? They're all kind of like energetic about it. And always in our leadership structure is we always do the takeaway kind of like structure with them, right? So you have to apply to be part of this thing. So you give them like a little written application, and the application process basically, number one goal of the application is to pre-frame whatever you've done to them before, right? Or wherever they're at right now mentally, right? So if you're here, and they're here, you know, you have to make some judgments about what you think their mental state is right now, right? Are they thinking, I've only got one more month on this deal, and you know, which one am I going to go with it, right? You know, you have to make some judgments about that. But what the questions in the survey should do is help preframe you for what your objectives are. So, you know, a question that might be in the application would be something like, would you like to see your son or daughter accomplish XYZ goal? You know, become a second degree black belt, become a first degree black belt. Would you like to see them accomplish XYZ benefit? You know, learn about public speaking skills, learn about individual leadership skills, learn about da 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 da. Right? So these might be some of the questions you'd ask. By the way, when we did the transition with NAMA, what was one of the first things we did? We did a big member survey. We did a big member survey. And there were a bunch of reasons why. Number one was we had a different vision for what the company was doing, right? We had a much bigger vision. And we knew that there were a bunch of people who wouldn't be thrilled with that, right? But we wanted to get everybody's input. We wanted to mine for details. You know, we wanted to know exactly what they found useful, what they didn't find useful. We wanted to know what they enjoyed, what they didn't. We wanted to know what they would like to see, what they wouldn't like to see, right? It helps us really kind of craft the vision for the future. And at the same time, it also sort of like helps soften the ground and preframe the stuff that you know you kind of already wanted to do, right? So that's that. The second thing it should do...
Toby?
Yeah?
I just interjected a resource. SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, SurveyMonkey.com.
Free surveys.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. It gives you statistics and everything. Yeah, pretty good. The second thing you want to do is use in the questions is to basically overcome objections. And basically that's phraseology like you may not know this, but it's very common for students at some point during their training to have to stumble across an obstacle that they have difficulty overcoming. In many cases, in some of these cases, students at that point in their training have a crisis of confidence and may come to you and say, you know, Mom, I don't want to go to karate today. And it's, you know, that type of phraseology. And how do you think is best for us to handle that? Da da da. Give them some options. You know, stuff like that.
That's all stuff right out of the student reactivation too.
Yeah, absolutely, so. Absolutely. See, we know what's going to happen. We all know what's going to happen, right? Here's what's irritating, right? We know what they're going to say, right? Yet we find, you know, school owners in so many cases that just keep banging their head against the same door. And they go, why do they keep saying that? Why do they keep saying that? Why do they keep saying that? Without ever asking themselves the question, what can I do so that they don't say it anymore? You know, what can I do so they say it less? What can I do to help them see my point of view before I have to talk them down from jumping off the ledge, right? So... And that's, you know, Dan is brilliant with that. Dan spends more time crafting the way he wants you to think about the universe than actually anything else, right? And that's the most important thing he can do, right? Because, again, it's the Donathorne thing. If you put together all the straight edges, if you can have that built right, then all the little details really do fill themselves in a lot, right? I mean, if you get the structure of this thing, then all these little details, man, you're going to be congruent with it. They all fall into place, right? I never thought that I could ask for $359. I never thought I could ask for it, right? I got my first $14,000 check 4 years ago, right? And it was December, second week in December, right? We were just getting ready to go on Christmas break. And what does everybody tell you about December? Oh, people aren't spending money because they're... No, this was the Christmas gift for the one kid, right? It was the leadership thing and the whole thing, right? First, 4 years ago, I believe. Four and then a couple months ago, right? And I was like, holy shit, this works, right? Right? And then, like, the next one came and the next one came and the next one came and I didn't do anything different than I really was doing before, really. I was doing more work ahead of time. That was the only change, right? It wasn't the sale conference. It wasn't all that stuff. It wasn't like the snappy Tommy Lee comeback when the guy says, well, you know, it wasn't that. It was like before they got in the room. A lot of the work was done, you know? So I didn't have to have the argument of, well, what if I take 2 months off? And it's like, see, all that's crap. You know what I mean? All that just misses the point. All that misses the cultural point. Is this making sense so far? So you choose a chunk of students who have expressed interest in whatever mechanism you're going to allow them to express interest, and you push them through an application process. That application becomes part of your enrollment conference with them, right? Okay, so let's bundle together what your question is, which is how do we add value to leadership? Okay, now I'm going to give you the straight edges, and it's the exact same straight edge that Donathan gave you 2 days ago, whatever, however many days ago it was. Here's the structure of our leadership program. Here's how it works. Here are the missions, right? If you read the West Point Way of Leadership, which you've all got it, right? You've got to read it. What were the four passives? We haven't read it yet.
The first one was followership?
Yeah, exactly. So when the students go through West Point, they have 4 years, right? Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, right? What happened was Master Oliver and Larry Dunathorn, and they basically had a meeting. They sat down and sketched some stuff out and used the book as a resource, and he kind of helped develop the program. But in year number one at West Point is their plebe year, right? That's when all the upperclassmen like beat on them and, you know, make them do push-ups and climb the greasy pole and do all that sort of stuff, right? And it's an experience. They do that deliberately. There's a reason they do that. Now, we model the same thing up at the retreat in Breckenridge, right? We model it to do it in a different way. But so the first level of leadership, or he calls it the first pass, is followership. Right? And we morph that into independent self-starter. Okay? So just give yourself, we're all good teachers, right? So give yourself 10 seconds. What kind of drills in class, what kind of in-class activities could you do for followership? Right? A million of them, right? Following directions, focusing on details, is it here or is it here, right? Is the thumb here? Is it, there's 8 million things we could do and talk about how this is your first pass, how this is first pass, right? What was the second one?
Face-to-face.
Yeah. So it's individual leadership. It's like, yeah, so face-to-face, let's say. Right? The third pass is small group or just group leadership. And then the fourth pass is he called it organizational. In the book, he calls it executive.
It sounded like he changed it for the audience or something.
What's that?
I thought he changed it for the audience.
Could be, yeah. Could be. The book he called it executive leadership. So here you've got individual onesie twosie. Johnny, your responsibility is for Susie's sidekick today. Now, how many of us can come up with 800,000 things we can do with that, right? I mean, this is just such an easy deal. It's how you frame it. The small group thing, again, same deal, right? Now you've got 3 students and you're responsible for their objectives, right? And then executive leadership, obviously that deal is leading other leaders. So now it's, the brown belt who's at pass, let's say the red belt who's at pass 4 takes the 3 brown, blue belts who are at pass 3 and gives them responsibility to execute to their group, that sort of stuff, right? So the in-class physical stuff that supports all this is cake, right? I mean, stuff is easy, right? So the out-of-class stuff, we're talking about adding this value. And keep in mind, one thing I didn't write on there, which I needed to, was what's more important than the actual value is the perception of value. And what that means is there could be tons of real value, but if the parents don't perceive it, doesn't mean anything. Right? Now, vice versa, if there's no value, but you're giving them a snow job, that doesn't last very long, right? They don't stay students for very long. So that's obviously not a challenge. I'll tell you what the biggest challenge with all this stuff is that perception part. It's clearly communicating exactly what you're doing in class and why and how that gets Johnny to where they want to be, where they want Johnny to be, right? That's the big challenge. And the out-of-class stuff is one of the mechanisms in place to help with that, right? So you've got those homework assignments. Which include the reading material, which you've got to be real careful with, right? You can't just hand them 17 Habits, which is written at, like, postgraduate level. I mean, have you ever read the damn book? Covey is brutal. Brutal, right?
7 Habits you're talking about?
7 Habits. Sorry, I didn't know
it was a different book.
So 17 Indispensable Qualities of Teamwork. I was getting confused. If you give them 7 Habits, I mean, it sucks, right? It's tough. See, you have to preframe all that stuff right. Now, really, Mr. Jones, keep in mind that this homework assignment, we're going to be discussing chapter by chapter each week in class, and we're going to be extracting the big lessons and through experiences teaching them those lessons in class.
Would you consider dropping that to his kids' book, the one about for teens?
Yeah, we do. We use the teen ones. The kids one just came out. We haven't experimented with it yet, but I'm sure we will. You know.
What do you do if a child's not reading his material? How do you handle that?
It's the same answer as what do you do if the child doesn't know what's going on? So whatever your answer to that question is the same answer to the book question.
So
it's the same thing. It's a piece of their
lessons.
You help them out. Exactly. You have them come in for an extra class, and you walk them through the lessons, and you exactly. Yeah, you handle it exactly the same way. It's part of the curriculum. It's part of the deal. You know what I'm saying? It's exactly the same. I mean, if you don't have those 4 attitude stripes. And if you don't have those 4 physical stripes, you're not ready for graduation. You're not ready for your exam. You know.
So they get a stripe for completing certain parts of this? Obviously.
Yeah, we do each chapter, and then there's homework assignments that are attached to the chapters. And those homework assignments are what have to be complete for them to earn the attitude stripes at those levels. Right? So that's your tracking mechanism. Right? Now, are they actually sitting down at home and reading every page? I'm not sure about that. How can I monitor that? What I can monitor is have they accomplished those homework assignments, which are based on the lessons in the chapter, which we're also reiterating in class based on the physical lessons that we're doing in class that apply directly to that homework assignment. That makes sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense? It's all kind of tied together, right? It's simple. If you get the framework, you can go back and you can take anything and you can make this work, right? Right. What's really important is that you're actually accomplishing these goals, right? You have to hold them accountable. You can't take a swipe at it and say, okay, this is the requirement, here's the homework assignment, and then Johnny comes to you the day before testing and says, I didn't read my chapters, or I didn't do my homework assignments for the chapters, and you still let him test. Well, that's just like if he didn't know what's wrong. Same thing, right? Same thing. So, is that making sense? So you do have to be very careful to present that the right way to the parents and to manage that expectation because, you know, it's difficult.
Do you have any problem with families that say, oh, they're so loaded with homework already, now they have more to do?
Mm-hmm. It's the same answer as practicing at home. We make them practice at home twice a week, too. They have to. It's a mandatory part of this, one of their stripes. They have to.
Part of the program. One of the things that...
Write your question down, because this is super important. Go ahead.
It was that... we explain to them that as they become focused, better study skills, they have all the physical fitness, it actually helps them with their homework, and they're actually more efficient and effective with the other homework that they have because of what we're doing.
That's a really good angle. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. The second part of it, I think, is probably this. That's the technical answer, a technical answer. I think from a 40,000-foot-in-the-air perspective answer, kind of like James' question, is... Oh, you've heard the umbilical cord story, right? I can't remember the author. Yeah, no, I can't remember the author. But what it is, you know, the average human being, the average person is walking around the street with their umbilical cord in their hand, looking for a place to plug it in, right? People need leadership, right? And they need honest, ethical, concise leadership. And if you equivocate one... inch, you ain't the guru anymore, right? If you say, look, this program is all about self-improvement and it's all about self-development and you're going to learn these leadership skills and you're going to do all these things and you're going to accomplish all these goals through this program, and Mrs. Jones says, well, you know, he's just so overloaded with homework and I don't think he's going to be able to do it. oh, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about the reading part. You know, you'll get everything else. So, no. See, now who's in charge, right? They came to you because you're the expert. You need to be the perceived expert, too, right? And as soon as you back off, do you go into your doctor's office and say, yeah, you know, I think you're right. I am sick, but I'm going to take this one, but not that medication because I don't like that. And I'm going to do this part of physical therapy, and I'm not going to do that because that's not going to work for me. No. He's the expert. He's telling you what to do. You know, so look, Mrs. Jones, the answer is I really understand, and his technical answer is really good. I really like that, too. But, look, you know, is it really important for you, for Johnny to accomplish these three goals? And this goal is graduating from high school with, you know, great GPA and you know, all that. And this goal is whatever other non-martial arts thing it is. And then this goal is all the stuff that we're going to do for him, you know, avoiding negative peer pressure, increasing his focus level, self-confidence, self-esteem. Are those things important to you? Yes. Great. Then we're on the same page. We'll do whatever we can to help you through this, but this is how the process works. We've had success with this hundreds, thousands of times. We know exactly what we have to, you know, what steps we have to put these students through to make sure that they're realizing these outcomes, and this is one of those steps. Right? And I heard somebody last night on Fox, I was watching Fox News. I like to switch back and forth just to see, you know, both sides of the story. But they were talking about having a college credit for, I can't remember exactly what they were talking about, but basically the argument was it's a shame that college kids have to work their way through college in many cases. And we should, the taxpayers should take on a part of the burden to help these kids that want to go to college, but whose parents can't afford the room and board to put them into college, and that they have to work while they're in college. And you know, it sounds good when you say it fast, I guess. But I thought the guy's comment on Fox was pretty clever. He said, you know, I went to college, and I took a full course load plus extra credits plus summer courses, plus I worked, and I'll tell you what. I was still, I think he graduated cum laude. And he said, I'll tell you what happened. The work cut into my social life, not my study life. So if it's a sin for that, so, you know, look, if it means you cut into your social life 2 hours a day rather than, you know, so be it, right? You know, go get it done, right? Go get the job done, right? So, you know, I thought that was interesting. But you get the idea. So I think that's the macro answer. I really like the technical answer that you gave. I think that's right, and I think that's pretty persuasive, and I think it's true. You know, what in fact, one of the things that we do is the time management.
But you adding that,
yeah,
as an overarching philosophy of saying, hey, wait a minute, this is what we're teaching, and here's an objective.
This is the process.
This is how this goes.
Yeah. So I think that's right. And I mean, you know, look, you know, you're the expert. You got to be the guru, man. You got to be. Nobody waits in line to see the guru at the bottom of the mountain. They climb all the way up to the top. You know, fight through the snow and all that stuff. Good. Any other thoughts on that? Okay. We'll talk about the launch on this tomorrow, because that'll take some time. But any other thoughts on big picture stuff, or how to structure the stuff, or anything like that you may have lingering? Now, look, one last brief frame item. We choose the leadership skill set as that part of the benefit for us, right? That's what we've chosen. It might not be your values. You may have a different philosophy. That's fine, right? If your philosophy is, I don't know, you name it. Eric Sparks, for example. You know, almost on a spiritual level, like peace of mind and peace, you know, that sort of thing, right? That's fine, right? The concept here is what do parents and families, what is there of more value that you can offer your current martial arts students that, number one, would serve them at the highest level and give them a 5-to-1, you know, cost-to-benefit ratio that they would be ready, willing, able, and enthusiastic to trade money for, to trade value for, right? What is that thing? And that's what you build. That's the ship you build, right? Any other thoughts on this? Ideas, comments, questions? Fill in the blank puzzles, anything like that? Any other ideas? We're all tired. Okay.
Well, just as a start off point, mm-hmm. which Would you recommend Donna Thorne's book as the first book that you use, or does it matter to you?
You know, we do it modularly. So we have module one, level one, level two, level three. So the level one books are the simpler ones. You know, like... in fact, I should show you... I can't log in.
What do you say when you talk to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, if I were just starting brand new, the psychology of winning is divided into 10 chapters, and there's 10 lessons in psychology of winning, and that's what we use. We call them our black belt success skills, right? And it's things like positive self-awareness, having a positive vision, positive self-image, all that sort of stuff. Those are hugely valuable. You could take each of those chapters, create one homework assignment from each chapter, and that could be your core of your first year of leadership, 10 months at least, probably more, right? I would start there. I mean, because that's really good. That's the 148,000 no's. That's all that stuff. It's
what does
really
Mr. Kovar use? Is his first year the same as what you're talking about?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
And psychology winning, you assign to the orientation people?
We do. Yeah. Thinking of, what's the name you taught yourself in psychology winning?
Is that something that you can get us and bring along, kind of progression on
IEP,
that material?
It's on the website, but I don't have access. It's on our website, but when I get logged into my computer, logged into the internet upstairs, I'm going to go copy my pages or something.
She wants the URL.
No, the Baja Karate website.
Okay.
I can show you the layout.
I thought that was like in the member section. No.
I don't think so. There might be screenshots or something, but I put so much crap up on that member section, so much stuff up there, I don't remember what I have up there now. There's so much stuff in the archive. In fact, I've got an archive with 6,000 documents right now, right? 6,000 pieces that we're going to launch the new member site probably in a month, maybe less. America's really good. And I've got it set up on a rotator that will give you fresh new content every couple of weeks. Fresh videos every week, teaching videos, like what I can teach in class this week. Fresh marketing ideas every month. All this stuff. It's crazy how much stuff I have up there right now. I just have to migrate all this stuff over to a new template because the database isn't as robust in this former template as the new one. But my goal is for you to be able to give your staff the password and have them log in and every week have fresh new classroom material, have fresh new, you know, marketing ground and pound ideas, stuff like that. You know, it's a pretty big vision, but we'll get there. Won't be long.
Once the ball starts rolling, it gets moving.
Let me tell you. Once we got some problems sorted out and some infrastructure put in place, and Oliver doesn't give up, and he hasn't like let up. You know, I mean. You know what I'm saying? He didn't let up, brother. You know? So, good. Any other lingering thoughts on this or any details? Okay. Why don't we break, 30 minutes early then? And we'll be back 9 a.m. tomorrow.